The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Luck is never just luck.
If you think winning is only a matter of chance, think again. We bring you sports gaming strategies and information that changes outcomes.
Keep it here.
And get the winning edge. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Pro football full circle.
Second and goal. Murray with some time. Back of the end zone. Wide open. DeAndre Hopkins. He was the loneliest man in Cleveland, and Kyler Murray hits him for six.
The odds kind of seem stacked against us. I mean, it's pretty much for us, it was just opportunity to come out here and prove ourselves. Against a good team, you know, people try to make this more than what it was, but at the end of the day, we came out here, handled what we needed to handle. But like I said, it's a great team over there, prepared well for them. Just on us to give them our best. So.
We are off and running on today's edition of Pro Football Full Circle. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Sirius Channel 204, talking all things NFL for the next hour. A lot to get into tonight. Big game in Cleveland. You heard the soundbite. Baker Mayfield out. Case Keenum in. Potentially 8 Cleveland Browns, including Odell Beckham Jr., might not play in this ballgame. Right now, Cleveland, a 1-point favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook over the Denver Broncos. Teddy B and Vic Fangio on the road. Total set at 40.5. We're going to break that game down in a couple of minutes. But George, breaking news out of Houston, potentially a trade between the Houston Texans and Miami Dolphins, which would send Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson to the Dolphins. Intriguing developments, good or bad for both teams before this weekend in terms of NFL week number 7.
Yeah, I don't know how much I would call this breaking news. I think this is more where these two teams have stayed in contact. It's just being reported. I don't know why the Dolphins would do this. You'd have to have, family show, guts, a lot of guts to make this move here with Dolphins. You're trading for a player with 22 lawsuits against them. That's not going to go over well with certain members of your fan base, certain members of the media are going to have a party with this. I mean, I don't know why you would do this. Not at this time, not until he's cleared. I just don't understand that. You know, as I said, it's a huge risk that can backfire in your face. Unless you're getting one hell of a deal from Houston, where they're giving you 75 cents on a dollar less. I don't see Houston doing that. We all heard what they wanted a few months ago during the preseason. What was it? 3 number 1s and 3 players, pretty much. Or 3 number 1s and 3 number 2s. Yeah, so I don't know. To me, this is just, teams talking. You know, they've stayed in contact, which is fine, which is what you should be doing. Stay in contact with them, that sort of thing. And we've also heard that the Texans, as part of this, want nothing to do with Tua. Right? He's not part of this deal, but Miami needs to trade Tua, and he would go to a third team. A third team is involved in this as well. So many moving parts. And let's not forget, by the way, that Deshaun Watson has a no-trade clause. So Miami needs to be satisfied. Houston needs to be satisfied. That third team needs to be satisfied, and Watson needs to be satisfied. Have a hard time, even if this is true, have a hard time seeing this deal happen in the next 13 days.
Well, the report is out of CBS, and supposedly Miami is very high on Deshaun Watson's list. As a Dolphin fan, it is a risk. But you saw the performance in London with Tua and the crew. They started fast, built a 17-7 lead over the Jaguars, allowed that lead to slip, lost that ball game 23-20 in a last-second fashion with a field goal by Wright, 50-yarder. But obviously, Tua is not in the plans. Obviously, there's someone outside of Brian Flores, maybe it's Ross, the owner, that doesn't buy into Tua's development over the past couple of years and says, you know what, I'm willing to roll the dice to get potentially a star quarterback. He's a $156 million man from last season. Worth willing to take the risk. The risk reward is too great at this potential time that, you know what, if we win, we're going to win in a big way, and we're going to have a quarterback for the next 10 years that can lead us to a Super Bowl, as opposed to having a quarterback in Tua that really up until this point hasn't lived up to expectations.
Well, Tua's not being given a chance. Like, let's face it, there's so many things that are going to get.
Well, he's given a chance. It's just, I mean, at the end of the day, it's, yes, he's gotten wins for the organization. I mean, but he's played. I mean, injuries are all part.
It's not the injuries.
What do you mean he hasn't been? George, what do you mean he hasn't been given a chance? He started. He's the starter.
Okay, can I finish my thought once? I know you like to jump in there and cut me off, but you got to let me finish every now and then. All right, he had no mini camps last year. Training camp was truncated. He had no weapons left. He has no running game now. All right, you signed Will Fuller, which is a good sign, but he's been hurt. All right, he has been given a shot. This comes up now. The week he has a really good game, it wasn't his fault they lost to Jacksonville. Yeah, so they had that's what's triggered this. He lost to Jacksonville. I think that's what the issue is here. But once again, this is a major risk. Watson's not playing this year. He can scratch that right off. We don't know if he'll play next year. All right, there's no way he's going to play this year. Even if he comes back, Goodell will suspend him almost immediately. He's done this year. So you're trading for a guy that maybe comes back next year, assuming legally things work out. And yeah, I believe in the end, I don't think he's going to do any jail time. I'd be shocked if that ever happens here. But still, it's going to be a massive, massive problem for Miami once this happens. In this day and age, this is not going to go over well at all. There's no doubt about his talent. He's a top five quarterback in the NFL, maybe better. But for a team to take this on, that's the only way I can see Miami doing this, or any team, by the way, is if that price has just come down where it's worth the risk. Like I said, if now they want one number one, a number two, all right, fine. Go for it. But Miami was taking a huge risk. And one thing I do agree with you about, this is above Flores. This is probably owner-related in my mind, because there's no way anybody is doing this without the owner saying it's okay, or the owner wanting to do it. There's no way. Because this is job-determining here. This blows up in your face. You're done. Yeah, you'll be fired. Well, this Miami Dolphins team will be set back years upon years.
Well, Ross is willing to make that move. I mean, it's all on him if this goes south in a big way. But as a Dolphin fan, I say, you know what? It's worth the risk. If I could get Deshaun Watson at this point, why not? Assuming everything's behind him with the criminal investigations, I'd love to have Deshaun Watson on the roster. We'll see how this plays out. When we come back, we'll break down that game tonight in Cleveland.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Continuing our conversation about NFL Week 7, we'll break down this game in Cleveland tonight. Like I mentioned before, Cleveland a one-point favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook, minus 112 right now over Vic Fangio and the Denver Broncos. Total set, George, at 40.5, juice to the over at minus 114. I mentioned potentially 8 Cleveland Browns that might be out of this ballgame that could obviously affect not only the defense but the offense. Odell Beckham might play in this ballgame. Jarvis Landry was activated, but it is Case Keenum's opportunity to shine now. When you look at this ballgame, no running attack for the most part, but I still like Cleveland here. This line eventually opened Sunday night at 4.5. They've bet it down tremendously, 3.5 points, where Cleveland is still a one-point favorite, but I still believe in Stefanski. I still believe in the home team, not buying in at this point to last week's performance for Denver, where they got blown out by Las Vegas.
I'll give you one thing. You like to die on your hills. I don't know how you can be back in Cleveland right now. The laundry list of injuries here is crushing. Absolutely crushing. You lose your quarterback. Granted, Mayfield's been blah this year. All right, so maybe it's not that much of a loss. And you can certainly make an argument that Keenum is actually an upgrade over an injured Mayfield, who did want to play this game. You have no running game, right? Both top two running backs gone. And this team is a running team. No Chubb. Maybe next week. Hunt's on IR. See you in November. Odell Beckham, as the reports keep saying, has got an uphill climb to play today. Landry is expected to be activated off IR and play tonight. Let's see how that works out there. There are what? At least two members of your offensive line are out today. Good luck. What did Von Miller say earlier in this week? He doesn't know who the right tackle is, but he's going to kill him. He is. He is going to kill him, and he might kill Keenum, too. I'm not saying you should bet on Denver, although I did, but I can't see how anybody is going to feel confident about Cleveland coming into this game. Any team loses these kind of starters, good luck.
That's why I like the Browns, because I think, obviously, the line movement, and I love Teddy Bridgewater, but I'm not buying into Vic Fangio. The four turnovers last week, he's so slow. I mean, no up-tempo offense in the second half of the game. They had an opportunity to cut into the lead. They just never showed a sense of urgency at any point in that ballgame. Your secondary got abused by Derek Carr. No coaching staff, an interim staff for that matter, and they come on the road to your house where you're 5-point favorite, and they completely dominate you from start to finish. He's supposed to be a defensive guru. His defense looked atrocious last week. Now you have a short week. I understand the injuries, but tell me what Vic Fangio is going to do differently than what he did last week. And he's probably going to try and run the football at this front seven. And if they don't have success, I'll take my shot with Case Keenum in this ballgame. I still lean to the under because I think that this ballgame is a game where Vic Fangio is going to try and grind out a 17-13 win on the road here.
That's probably right. I don't see this being a high-scoring game. The under is so low, though. I can't bet the under. I might bet the under just because it's so low, but I think it's going to be a lower-scoring game as well. But, man, I don't think it's going to be a fun game at all tonight. We've had a lot. Most of these primetime games have been very, very exciting. All right, and maybe this game goes down to the wire. I can see that happening if Cleveland defense shows up here. But I don't see this being exciting, keep on the edge of your seat kind of game here. I just can't see that at all. Hope it is. But I think it's going to be kind of a dull Thursday night game here. But there's no way on God's green earth that I'm betting Cleveland. It'd be tough for a good team to overcome these injuries. Moore's a team that's played terrible all season long, or most of the season anyway. If they lose this game, they will be in last place. Last place.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I picked them to win the division.
Yeah, well, obviously, injuries are part of the game. You know that, right? And the schedule is a little difficult. I mean, they went up against the best team in the NFL last week, got blown out. Obviously, four turnovers by Baker Mayfield, and that offense didn't help. You give a short field to Kyler Murray, your defense is going to wear down. So we'll see. I mean, the bigger question and the key props for tonight is Teddy Bridgewater, 229.5. You have Case Keenum, 219.5. I sort of lean to Keenum, even though the offensive line is banged up. I think Cleveland can make progress over the top, especially if Denver's looking to stuff the run game early. That's what Derek Carr did. I know the weapons aren't there per se, but still think that Cleveland has some speed on the perimeter to challenge that secondary over the top.
Yeah, that secondary is pretty good of Denver. I don't know if I'm going to see that happening here. And I don't know if I want Cleveland, if I want Keenum throwing that ball. I don't know if he has the skills to take advantage of it either way here. It's funny. I would have liked Peoples-Jones a lot tonight if Baker was still there. He was the one guy who was playing well when Baker was in there. Like I said, I just think the Browns are in trouble. I just think they're in trouble tonight. I think the only thing that's keeping them a shot at winning this game is the fact that I'm not going to argue about Fangio. I have all sorts of issues with him as well. I think you and I are certainly on board here that he probably should have been fired at the last season. But, teams do what they do. Sometimes they need to be knocked over the head a couple of times before they realize they have the wrong guy or they don't want to admit they made a mistake here. So it is what it is. Like I said, I think it's going to be a pretty dull game here. Bridgewater is going to play for Denver. That's a plus here. But other than that, I think Sutton's going to have a decent game tonight here. Noah Fant, I think he'll eat as well. Tim Patrick said the weapons are there for Denver. They're healthy. Cleveland's not. Cleveland was the better team at one point. They're not anymore.
All right, we'll see. We're on both sides of the fence. We'll see who's right tomorrow when we break down the weekend's matchups. I do want to get to a game where there's been significant line movement. Earlier in the week, Green Bay was much a 9.5, 10-point favorite over the Washington football team. Right here on the FanDuel Sportsbook, 2 points cheaper now if you want to back Green Bay in this ballgame at Lambeau. 7.5 is the spread, minus 110 either way. You got 48.5 as the under and over in this ball game. I like Washington plus the 9.5. Now it's right around the key number, 7.5. Still lean to the Washington football team. Don't love it, but still would take the points in this ball game. If it dips under than that, you might have to take another look and reassess. But right here, right now, still leaning with Taylor Heinicke and the crew.
Yeah, I'm not really – I think you and I were both on Washington on Monday when we last talked. So I'm not surprised it's come down a little bit. We thought the spread was too high then.
It's come down tremendously, though. 2 points.
Which is why? Why? I mean, is there a lot of money coming on? Is that why? Which, once again, justifies it. I can't – there's not an injury here. We haven't heard that, oh, you know, so-and-so's not playing for Green Bay. And let's face it, outside of Devontae Adams or Aaron Rodgers, there'd be no play that would justify that kind of drop anyway. And that includes Aaron Jones, by the way, because A.J. Dillon would do just fine. So I don't know why, other than money coming in, a lot of money coming in, which makes sense because you and I were on this automatically, which is odd for a Washington team when you figure that's been horrendous this year. I mean, horrendously bad. And I don't think they have a snowball's chance in hell of beating Green Bay in Green Bay. But, you know, I don't know if Green Bay was going to win by double-digit points either. You know, I think we're both hoping they have probably for a Washington late garbage time touchdown covers it. There we go. So I'm probably, if I had to do it all over again, I would not take Washington anymore. You know, I don't think I'm going to go down to a touchdown, a little over a touchdown, touchdown to hook. No, I would probably be more on Green Bay now if I could redo the bet with the spread here.
Yeah, I wouldn't do Green Bay. I would just say it's a no play if it gets under 7. I would take another look at it, maybe from an in-game perspective. If they go, obviously, and start slow in this ballgame, and maybe you're catching double digits again if Aaron Rodgers jumps up early, and then maybe you can get back into it. The one thing I don't like about Washington, and this is a key fact, is that secondary now has been giving up chunks of yards no matter who they play, Atlanta, Kansas City. I mean, Daniel Jones in New York had success. They haven't stopped anybody. The only team that they stopped was week number one when they had all offseason to prepare and Justin Herbert. That was the most shocking defensive performance when you just look at their body of work through the first 6 weeks of the season.
Agreed. They looked how I thought they were going to look week one. Struggling a little bit on offense, but the defense was good, right? And if not for that Antonio Gibson fumble inside the 10-yard line, they probably win that game. I definitely lost a game for them there. And it's gone all downhill since. You can put the Dolphins here, the Browns, Washington, probably the top three, and I'm probably leaving somebody out too, top three most disappointing teams in the NFL as far as teams that we thought would do more damage this season. Kansas City would be here as well.
When we come back, we'll dive into that game in Foxborough, Jets and Patriots, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz, right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Coming right back. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Continuing our breakdowns of NFL week number 7, talked about the early games. Going to turn our attention to that battle in Foxborough between the New England Patriots and New York Jets. Broke it down a little bit yesterday. Want to dive into it a little bit deeper today. Jets are 7-point dogs on the road to face off against Mac Jones. They went toe-to-toe with Dak Prescott. Game goes to overtime. Dallas pulls it out and the cover, 3.5-point favorite. They do cover on the road going away, 35-29. I said it yesterday in terms of Bill Belichick. Obviously, now at the end of his career, right? We see the success of Tom Brady with Tampa Bay. I mean, Has Belichick been overhyped to a degree? I mean, is he still the same dominant defensive game planner that he was with the Giants and he was in the early part of his career when the New England was racking up Super Bowl wins over every team in creation?
I'm not going to discount Bill Belichick. I don't think that's fair, but I think we're saying that, and most coaches will tell you this, you're a great coach if you have great players. Right? And if you don't have great players, well, you know, you may get him a little better, but, you know, you're not going to do much. And that's what we're seeing with Bill. Yeah, when you had Brady, when you had the other members of that team, you were great. You knew how to coach those guys up, and there's something to be said for that. But now you don't have those players. You're sort of – I don't know if I talked to you about this on Monday or if it was more Davis Maddock and Craig Mish on Tuesday, Wednesday. If in my mind, Belichick lost that game on Sunday. You know, the Patriots – Bill Belichick lost. How many times, Joe, are you going to punt the ball – from your own 45 and closer, which means it could have been Dallas, a couple times Dallas territory, around the 50, whatever it might be, on fourth and five or less. I mean, you can't keep doing it. In today's game, you can't keep doing that. As a fan, on that last drive in overtime, when it's fourth and three, I think it was from the 47, like I said, around there, I'm screaming, please punt the ball. Please punt the ball because I want the ball back. I didn't care if Dallas got the ball at the 1 yard line. I knew they were going to go down and get that field goal to win the game. And I think it was one of the folks on NFL Live, don't remember who, so I apologize, but they said, you should probably do the opposite of what the other team's fan base wants you to do. And I completely understood that because I wanted them to punt, I did not want them to go for it because I was afraid they'd make it, keep the drive going. You know, and I didn't want that. Well, I wanted the Cowboys to get the ball back. And Bill keeps punting the ball. When your defense is not very good, when it was gassed in that game, you had to keep the ball on offense. It didn't matter if you gave the Dallas the ball at their 1 yard line or at your 20 yard line. Either way, you're going to lose that game if they got the ball back. You had to go for the win there. I'm not even sure I would have gone for a field goal if I was them. I think they needed a touchdown to put that game away. Their defense had nothing left, and Bill did that over and over again in that game. Kept punting the ball back to the Cowboys on fourth and five or less. When you're playing a team that's got that kind of offense going up and down the field against you, yeah, they self-destructed a couple of times, but you can't keep giving them the ball back. So I thought Bill, and like a lot of older coaches, I think you can go through probably at least a half dozen guys, they haven't caught up with today's game. I don't care how good, great Bill Belichick was. You know, you got to adapt to today's game, and he hasn't done that.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing about Bill is that he was an evaluator of talent, right? The ability to draft a player like Julian Edelman and understand his versatility. He hasn't done that in recent years, at least up until this season and the last couple of years. Now, he did draft Mac Jones. He did draft Ronnie Perkins and Ramondre Stevenson. I get that. Those, I think, are pretty good draft picks. But look at the body of work on the defensive side of the ball. We're regurgitating defensive talent. He brings back Jamie Collins for a third stint. This was a player he cut. He couldn't cut it with the Detroit Lions, one of the worst teams in the NFL. Now you're going to bring this player back. He better come back and be a dominant player, because I understand you're signing him on the cheap, but at the end of the day, you still need production. You bring back Travis Van Noy. He didn't cut it with Miami. You bring him back this year. Where is the defense? Forget the offense right now for a second. You thought that the defensive side of the ball would be dominant. As long as you had a rookie quarterback, you could rely on the defense. Now the defense is giving up chunk yards. So what do you really have in New England? You have no playmakers on the perimeter like we've brought up. No speed on the outside. You can't challenge any defenses over the top. You have to work down the field at specific periods of time. And everybody will say, well, Mac Jones hit Bourne on an 84-yard touchdown. Yeah, but Kendall Bourne is not an elite wide receiver in the NFL. He's basically a second and third teamer on any other team for the most part. So, I mean, at the end of the day, what has Bill done the last couple of years that shows that he's still that dominant defensive game planner? It's one thing to say you have a method in place and a process, but at the end of the day, he controls the team and he controls the talent that is brought on by the draft organization and the scouts. He's in control.
I have nothing to add here. I think you're right. I have nothing to add at all. I do think of this. I think the question, who is more responsible, Bill or Brady, I think that's been answered. You know, I definitely think that's been answered. And it's not, once again, it's not fair because the teams aren't the same. But, generally to me, it's almost always the player. You know, I do think there's some magical Bill moments where he made the most out of, as you said, not the greatest talent. I think it's been going on for a while here, but Brady was that good. But I also wonder this, if Brady wasn't taking all those discounts, you know, he never got paid his worth there. And it's part of the reason why he left. He didn't feel they were, I guess, fair to him or using the money in the right way. But if he would have gotten paid his worth, he would have had even less talent because he would have had to cut other people. You know, so I think Bill is very good at making the hard decisions. I don't think it's very close to people. He's cutting people a year early rather than a year late. Think Richard Seymour, guys like that. But he's having problems now. And like I said, once again, it's, if you have great players, you can be a great coach. And I'm not saying Joe Lisi or I could have been great coaches with New England with Brady and that team. No. You know, Bill is a very good coach, maybe the best coach ever. But, yeah, I think either he's lost his touch or he's lost his magic or losing Tom Brady really, really is a hard loss, and I'm probably leaning to probably a little bit of all three.
Yeah, I think it's a fair assessment to say that maybe in the beginning of Brady's career, it was more Bill than Tom until he became that veteran, that savvy type of player that became just a diehard competitor. That was always there, but he had to learn that, right? Once the game slowed down for him, I think it was more Brady maybe at the end of the career and the end of the tenure in Foxborough. But when you look at this ball game, obviously New England did dominate their first matchup. They forced interceptions against Zach Wilson, made them completely one-dimensional. Second time around, they're catching 7 points in this ball game. I lean to the Jets here. I really do. Second time around, I don't know if they obviously pulled this ball game out. And I understand the dominance of New England over the Jets, but this is a team that I think is limping into this ball game. I think New England was significantly hurt with that ball game against Dallas emotionally. There is the feeling I think around that locker room that they're mortal now. They just can't take games over defensively. I'll take the Jets plus the 7 in this matchup. I lean to the over though, 42.5.
Yeah, I'm with you on both here as well. You and I have agreed too much on these games this week. Usually we're on
not good
opposite ends.
We should fade ourselves.
Fade ourselves,
George.
That's probably actually a pretty good point there, too. You realize if New England loses this game, listen, maybe they just don't cover, which is good enough, but they'll be 0-4 at home. They've lost all three home games, and that's hard to believe. It's usually Foxborough's a very difficult place to play, and they keep losing these home games, and that's a problem as well. There are lots of issues here. I got somebody on my Twitter feed now who's complaining about the Jets. They're a hot mess, and he's absolutely right. But I'll say it again for the Jets. It's just a matter of getting Zach Wilson to make sure he's your franchise guy. You know, I wouldn't have taken him at number two. I would have gone probably Fields there. But if they blow this, and he's not that guy, I mean, how many times can you keep going back to this well here? You're playing New England. They're not playing well. You get the bye week, so you've had 2 weeks to prepare for this game for a division rival. I think the Jets can cover this game. I don't feel great about it, mind you, but I think the spread's too high. I'm not so sure New England's, you know, 7 points better than anybody. More or less a division rival.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree. Now, you mentioned those home losses, one to the Dolphins, one to Tampa Bay, one to Dallas. Some of the better teams outside of Miami, two of the top teams in terms of the NFC. So we'll see how that game plays out. It is a 1 o'clock kick. A game that we really didn't dive into too much. Philadelphia on the road to face Las Vegas. 3-point favorites coming off the win in Denver. Coaching staff in disarray, but they look pretty consistent last week. Now they come back home. I mean, could the Eagles run the football on the front seven of Las Vegas? That to me is whether or not they cover this ball game. I think if it's a shootout between Hurts and Carr wins that at home. Still like the Raiders here, laying the 3. I know it seems like a tricky game, but I have no confidence in Nick Sirianni and the Philadelphia Eagles. Not sure their identity, and I don't like their defense heading on the road to Las Vegas in this ball game.
Yeah. The first thing that comes to mind when I think of this game, points. I think points are coming.
You do?
I think Carr's going to – it's a fast track. I think Carr's going to be able to find his receivers in this game. I think Jalen Hurts will do some damage as well. Although his passing wasn't very good last game. He's doing more damage to his legs right now. And the Eagles, you know, we're talking – you and I are bickering about the Dolphins, and if Tua's the quarterback there, I don't know what the Eagles feel. And this is another reason why I don't think that trade's going to happen, because – the Houston Texans have – why aren't they waiting for the Eagles to make their decision? Or have the Eagles already made their decision? I do wonder this as well. Had the Eagles told them, no, hey, Hurts is our guy. Because the Eagles are going to have 3 number ones next year. That's a lot of ammo. That's what those are the picks I'd be going for if I'm Houston.
You think it's Watson? You think it's more Watson not wanting to go to Philadelphia, more wanting to go to Miami? That's maybe why Houston is willing to make the deal sooner rather than later.
Well, if I'm Watson, I want to go to Miami. I mean, it's in, for a lot of reasons. One, hey, it's Florida. Nice. Nice weather, right? No state taxes. More money coming my way. All right? And there, it's a team that, you know, let's face it, if they trade for you, that means they do want to win. Right? They do want to win. They're going for it. And, you know, you got to like the fact you got Will Fuller there, Parker. You need a run game, blah, blah, blah. But
they have weapons. I mean, it depends on what they give up for him, but there are weapons there.
They have to give up a truckload. I mean, might have to give up a lot of future number ones to get him. So I'm just surprised they're not waiting for Philadelphia to declare about Hurts. Like I said, but maybe they have behind the scenes. Maybe they've already told him, nope, Hurts is our guy. We're sticking with him.
Yeah, when we come back, we'll dive into that game in Tampa. Tom Brady, Justin Fields, keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Curtis.
Big ball game taking place in Tampa. Touchdown Tom, 12.5 point favorites over the Chicago Bears and Justin Fields. They played toe-to-toe with Green Bay for about 3.5 quarters. Then in the final 5 minutes, Aaron Rodgers took the game over, scored a touchdown, said, I own you. He probably does. I mean, just another dominant effort by the Green Bay Packers over the Chicago Bears. Just when you think potentially there's a shining light, a light at the end of the tunnel, Aaron Rodgers rips your heart out right in terms of the front of the fans in Soldier Field. I own you, baby. Well, can Justin Fields in Chicago make some noise on the road against Touchdown Tom? 12.5 point underdogs in this ballgame. I hate Matt Nagy. I'm not going to make no bones about it. I think he should move on already. A terrible game planner. Love Justin Fields. He should be throwing the football 45 times a game. But no, we have to run it with Khalil Herbert and the crew. We have to shorten games just like Vic Fangio. Total set at 47 in this ballgame, minus 112 to the over in this matchup. I don't like the over because there's no way Justin Fields and Chicago are going to go toe-to-toe. Miami tried that. They got blown out of the water, and they have better weapons on the outside. I know a lot of people love Allen Robinson, but when you have a play caller that's totally one-dimensional, you're not going to move the football. So lean to the under here, the rushing attack. I still like Tampa Bay. I can't take Justin Fields in this spot, although I do feel they're right because a lot of people were on them last week. Now on the road against one of the top teams in the NFC, I think it'll be an overreaction here.
Maybe, and I'm with you here, by the way. Once again, I agree. Also, Tampa Bay's banged up. Antonio Brown hasn't practiced the past 2 days. He's got the ankle injury. Doesn't mean he's not going to play. Tomorrow will be more the key day there, the key Friday practice. We'll see. Gronk has just started running today. There's no update as far as whether they think he could play or not. We'll see. So could be missing a couple of key pieces there. Again, Gronk's been out a couple of weeks now. So they're a little banged up. So I think that's also going to lead to the fact that maybe they don't hang 37 points on here, because I got Chicago scoring like 13, 14 points. So to get that over, you're going to need Tampa to get 30 plus, probably around 35. And that's going, I don't know if they can quite get that high. So that worries me somewhat there. I'm with you on Justin Fields. Let the kid play. Allen Robinson, by the way, is, they're not even looking his way. Whether or not there's no game plan for him, whether or not they can't get him the ball, whatever it might be. But his numbers as far as a receiver are poor. And that's putting it nicely. All right, there is not a guy you want on your team right now. You can't bet any kind of props with Allen Robinson unless you're going to go the unders. You're not going over any over props with Robinson. I need to see it first. And I haven't seen it all year long. It looks like Mooney is the guy that Fields enjoys throwing to, which is always the the always interesting proposition when you put a new quarterback in there. Who's going to become his favorite guy? It's not always the better wide receiver. A-Rob is the better wide receiver, but they're not throwing the ball his direction there. And I assume you saw yesterday with Tom Brady, right? And another reason why I just love this guy. All of a sudden, getting out. I wish he would have been out of New England now his whole career.
Why don't you buy the Tampa Bay jersey right now and throw in the Dak Prescott jersey that you have and buy the Tampa Bay jersey right now. You can get a discount on NFL.com.
Can you? Can you get a discount? I'm not so sure you can. I actually don't have a Dak Prescott jersey. I think I stopped buying jerseys as far as players. I only like the number 4 all that much. So that's probably another reason why. But come on. That was funny yesterday. He goes on the interview with, I forget who it was, Jim Gray maybe? And he's saying, you know, congratulations to Aaron Rodgers. Congratulations to Aaron Rodgers. He's going to have a great career after football. I didn't know he owned part of the Bears. Good for him. I just think that's so funny. It's funny.
Let me ask you this, because I just took a look when you were talking about Chicago's, what you expect for Chicago. Their team total in this game on FanDuel, 17, juiced to the under at minus 118. So if you think they're only getting 13 to 14 points, which is what they scored against Green Bay, right? They lose that ball game 24 to 14. Do you feel that confident they're only getting 14 on the road in Tampa Bay with the injuries? Because right now I would lean to the over, which now has me buying into Chicago, even though I can't stand Matt Nagy right now.
Well, it depends what you believe about Nagy. I mean, how are you going to beat Tampa Bay? You got to throw the ball into that secondary. You have no choice. Yeah, because they don't have any cornerbacks. So you got to throw the ball into that secondary. Will Nagy do that? I don't know. I don't know if he's going to have the wherewithal, or he's going to beat his head against the ground and run the ball into that line with Khalil Herbert over and over and over again. As of right now, Damian Williams has not been cleared. If you tell me he's going to throw the ball, I think, I think Fields would make mistakes? Would he take some sacks? Might he throw an interception or two? Absolutely. But this is not a game you're going to win running the ball into that line. You can't do that against this team. It makes no sense here. I said, I just don't know if I trust Nagy to make that kind of adjustment or to have that kind of game plan. I can say, we want to protect Justin Fields. We don't want to have him throw the ball 35, 40 times. Well, if you're going to run the ball 25, 30 times, you're going to lose the game. And you might lose big because you're going to be punting the ball away a lot on 3 and outs. And you're going to have a lot of 3rd and longs. So I think they need to mix it up and they need to trust Fields somewhat in this game. But I don't know if I trust them to do that. I think that's how I would want to run the game plan, but I don't know if that's how Chicago will. I'm not going to bet the under of the team total of 17. I can't do that. I can see a late garbage time touchdown ruining that. But I think they're going to score 13 is a number in my head. A touchdown and 2 field goals is what I'm giving Chicago tonight.
See, if they were under 500, which they're not, they're 3-3 and 1-1 in the division, you would say that maybe Nagy goes all out just to open it up, right? But because they're 500 in the division and overall, in his sick mind, he's like, oh, we got a shot now. We got a shot to steal the division. He's going to coach this game like it's almost like a playoff type of game. So he's going to say, let's run Khalil Herbert 50 times in this ball game, get to the 4th quarter, and potentially try and steal it. That's going to be his mentality. If they were 1-5 like the New York Giants, I'd say, there's a good potential that Justin Fields goes all out here. I mean, Fields has only completed 53% of his passes, but they're completely one-dimensional. They're totally conservative on 1st and 2nd down. Can we open it up and give this team a shot? That's been the biggest problem with this offense. I'm conflicted here because now when you see the total, I mean, you scored 14 against Green Bay, and now the books reassess the away total at 17. 3 points higher on the road against one of the better defenses, if not the best defense in the NFC. And now you tack 3 points on to what they scored last week. I mean, all right. I'll tell you this. I'm going to lean on the team total over. I still lean to Tampa Bay here, but I don't love the bet as we break this game down. And if they do put a potential, let's say, passing prop on Fields later in the week, I will be over that. Just I'm going contrarian in terms of this assessment. Even though I can't stand Matt Nagy, there's no way they're not going to cover this game. I'm telling you, he'll blow it somehow, some way. A game that we didn't talk about all week is the Sunday night game. San Francisco squaring off against Indianapolis. They are 4.5-point favorites. If you want to take a shot on Carson Wentz and the Colts coming off a dominating home win over the Texans, they cover that number early and often. Big play by Paris Hilton. Paris Hilton's on my mind, by the way. Blew that game open in the first quarter, but the Colts are 4.5-point dogs on the road. 44.5. I still think we talked about it earlier. They have the potential to make the playoffs here. Indianapolis does at plus 156 because all the other teams are just not living up to expectations. Do you believe in this offense right here for San Francisco? Do you believe that they can turn it around and get back into form? I mean, minus 106, haven't been really running the football consistently. Carson Wentz playing a little bit better. I mean, T.Y. Hilton back. Pittman playing well. What do you think? I lean to San Francisco, but I don't love it.
I am with you here. Like I said, we are way too much agreeing here. Indianapolis, they just lost their safety to Blackman. I think it was an Achilles. Is it Achilles or ACL? He's done for the season. So it's another injury to a secondary that's not very good. So once again, I'd like to see San Fran take advantage of that. It should be a they're coming off a bye week. It should be a good Debo game, maybe a good Brandon Ayuk game. Do I trust San Fran? Not completely, because I don't think Garoppolo is completely healthy. He's just healthier than Trey Lance. Yeah, so they have no choice here. You gotta go. Someone's got to be back behind center. I think they have some problems there. I do think it'll be Jimmy G that will start this game, which in some ways maybe is a good thing. He'll maybe throw the ball into the secondary more than a Garoppolo would. So, yeah, I guess I do. There's no doubt I like San Fran this game. Playing in San Fran Sunday night's tough for anybody. More or less, Indianapolis, which have had their issues. If I'm Indianapolis, Jonathan Taylor, baby. Run, Jonathan, run. He's carried you the last 2 weeks. I'm not going to stop that. Let him go again here. Carson Wentz has looked good the last couple of weeks, right? Or better.
Not good. He's looked solid. Solid. We'll give him solid. All right, I'll give you solid.
He threw gone over down to 400.
Yes, he's played better over the past couple of weeks. Maybe he's getting acclimated to the offense.
It's not saying much. He was bad the first couple of weeks, right? So
he was horrible.
Well, I think Frank Reich's going to have an interesting decision to make here eventually, because I think Indianapolis is going to fall out of it. They're going to be out of the playoffs. Do you keep playing Wentz and you give up that first-round pick? Remember, the magic number is 75%.
You got to play him now. He got a shot to make the playoffs. They got to play
him. I said once. Comprehension here. Once they're eliminated and they're not in playoff contention. Remember, he'd only have to miss about 2-3 games, and that 75% just goes away. I find it interesting. I want this to happen because I want to see what the Eagles would do. They might, there'll be arbitration, complaining, you can't do that. You can't sit him for any reason other than an injury, blah, 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 blah. So I'm kind of curious what would happen there if it goes that direction here. Because I tell you, if they don't miss the playoffs, and let's say Reich doesn't even play solid, and then there are people in Indianapolis organization going to be going, what? We had a losing season. You wanted Reich so bad, Wentz so bad. You told us you could get turn him around. Now you didn't. He didn't play well. We didn't make the playoffs, and we have to give up a number one pick now. Going to be a lot of people in Indianapolis that aren't happy with Frank Reich.
I lean to the over in that ball game. Last Sunday went under by a half on FanDuel. Seattle Pittsburgh. It was 43 and a hook. It goes 43. Now you got 44.5. You got to think the mindset is to run Taylor, especially on the road. He's averaging 5.4 yards per carry. But if they shut that down, it's going to have to be Wentz over the top with those wide receivers. Now, that could be a potentially solid matchup. T.Y. Hilton, Paris Campbell, Michael Pittman, Pascal. I mean, that's not a bad wide receiver core to challenge San Fran's defense. I mean, if we saw Alan Lazard and Davante Adams, I know Davante Adams, best wide receiver or one of in the NFC, if not all of the game. But outside of that, what did Green Bay have? And they were able to attack them over the top. You got to feel somewhat confident that Wentz could have success on the road here through the passing game, no?
It's Wentz. I mean, Adams, Rodgers, Wentz. And whoever, T.Y. Hilton, I don't have a lot of confidence. I think your idea is right. I think I would attack the secondary as well, but I don't know if I trust Wentz to be able to do that. I also don't know if I trust that offensive line to hold up to give him time to do that. And the last thing you want right now is have Wentz take hits. Doesn't look like he's very good at taking hits. He tends to get hurt. All right, and then we're down to, I know they released Eason, so they're down to Hundley here. So, yay. I did the game plan as John Mattadella. I think that's what they're going to try and do, sort of keep the game close. Maybe get a big turnover in the fourth quarter. I think that's what they're looking for on the road here in San Fran.
We'll see how that game plays out. That is the Sunday night game. When we come back, we'll wrap it up with another Week 7 line. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid. Keep it where it is. We're coming right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Wrapping up today's show, we always end it with a Week 7 line, or a line that we haven't really talked about in much detail. A lot of big lines this weekend. I mean, you really have to pick your spots here, George, but let's talk about this ball game. I mean, right now, Atlanta and Miami. I still like the Dolphins as one of my better picks. It's going to be on the show before we head into the weekend. But I'm taking the Dolphins plus 114 on the money line. They're 2.5-point dogs, minus 110 either way. And I think it has the potential to be one of the higher scoring games on the board. I'll take the over 47 in this ballgame.
Yeah, I like the over here as well. I think Miami's getting screwed here. I hate the fact that they're playing a team coming off a bye when they're coming back from from England, and so they're.
But it's the Falcons. It's the Falcons. Come on.
Yeah, so it's not. It's not right. I mean, it's just not right. I hate when the NFL does crap like this. I assume the Dolphins chose not to have a bye this week because generally it is your choice. Most teams take it. They want the bye because the long flight and all that to recover from it. But I'm gonna have I can't take Miami. I can see staying away from this game, but I probably lean more to Miami's the better team. But I don't like everything that's going against me. It's like why I don't pick Cleveland tonight with 8 injuries. I'm not picking Miami coming up a short week against the team coming on against the bye. Not doing it. But I do think the points are coming here. I like the over a lot here. If I lean Atlanta, though. I just lean Atlanta because, once again, I think Miami got screwed here by the league.
I know that is the perception in terms of them getting screwed. I get that, but at the end of the day, you should still beat, this Atlanta Falcon team. Atlanta, I know, beat New York on the road. They were a 3-point dog, and they played much better over the last couple of weeks. But at the end of the day, you should be able to bludgeon Matty Ice in this ballgame. I mean, the defensive end should be crashing down on the old man, beat him into a pulp in South Beach. I mean, at the end of the day, Brian Flores, you need to step up. Step up and make a play this coming Saturday, Sunday. I'm all pumped up for college and pro football. For George Kurtz, our great producer, Andrew Torres, I'm Joe Lisi. We'll talk to you tomorrow with Best Bets and the whole board. Talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Switching between tools for one project gets disjointed, especially on tight deadlines. Grammarly built a game-changing writing surface tailor-made for professionals to help you move ideas forward and sharpen your writing. You can brainstorm ideas, summarize meeting notes in seconds, or strengthen a proposal without context switching. easy to get started, and even easier to finish. Sign up for Grammarly free and get your professional writing from draft to done. Visit Grammarly.com. That's Grammarly.com.